This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Jewels of Illumination books 1-3 box set is out. Oban is a broken man who just might find redemption guarding a scholar from bandits, a criminal syndicate, and a dark necromancer. Avina is a woman haunted by guilt who has to learn if she can trust Oban. Together, they can break free of their past or be lost. You can buy or borrow Jewels of Illuminations books 1-3 from Amazon. Today, I'm joined by Samantha Evans. She's the author of Ella, The Land of the Four, Book 1.
How are you doing today, Samantha?
Oh, just enjoying being at home because I've been recovering from a broken ankle for almost the last 2 months. It's been interesting.
Yeah, no, I sprained my ankle so badly I almost broke it. And the doctor actually told me, he's like, you know, you might as well have just broken it. It would have been a cleaner heel. Instead, I ripped my tendons.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I have a torn tendon in my left ankle. The other tendons, like, they took up the slack, so I have, like, the full use of it back, which is, you kind of have some redundancy apparently there in your tendons and your ankle, but yeah, it'll burn more than my, like, other foot if I walk on it a lot. I can really feel there's a difference.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
I've been riding having to sit and, you know, keep my ankle elevated. Pardon for my children in the background. I'm a mother of three. They're my two youngest children in the background.
That's okay. So I always like to start out these interviews with some fun questions. I noticed you write about dragons, so I'm just curious, what is your favorite color for a dragon?
Oh, well, I usually balance between red and green. So I think it just gives such a powerful image to them.
Okay. So let's talk about your book, Ella. It's about a prince that wants to see dragons protected.
Yeah. Well, it's because it was just an idea I had. Like he sees dragons as, you know, beautiful creatures that should not be harmed. So he doesn't believe in having to kill a dragon to gain, you know, glory or gain, you know, feeling like a man. He actually believes that they're beautiful creatures that need to be preserved, that they need to be actually protected.
I see.
Yes.
And so that's where the conflict in the story comes from?
Yes, because he actually finds an egg and he actually takes it home with him and he actually hides it from his father and his brother, who believe in the whole concept of if you kill a dragon, you know, you gain your manhood. They believe in that, but the main character, Liam, does not. And out of all days, the egg hatches on Liam's birthday, actually, and he is the one that gives the dragon the name Ella.
Okay. What's the prince's name, by the way?
Liam. Prince Liam.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the story's kind of about Liam and Ella's adventures to stop.
Well, it's because he's caught in a major ordeal that he was basically framed for a crime he did not commit. And so he had to run away and leave home. And Ella grows, like, miraculously that she actually helps him escape. And he goes to this remote area of this land that he's never been to before. And he wants to become a hermit because he thinks, I can't go home. No one will believe me. And he actually finds out he has no choice in the end but to return home to gain, you know, that he has to show the people that he did not do what he did to be sent away, that he had to run away from home.
Okay.
Yes.
And so are there any other interesting characters in the book?
There are two antagonists in the book. One of them is his brother, who believes he gets it all, but like his little brother is an antagonist. And then the other antagonist is actually the main bad guy, who's like their father's advisor and counselor. His name is Atlan. He's a sorcerer and a wizard who has, like, no one even knows how old he is. They think he's, like, hundreds of years old, and he's powerful. And he disapproves of Liam because he knows Liam will become the king next, and he doesn't agree with what Liam believes in.
Okay.
So it was basically Atlan who created the ordeal that made Liam having to leave. Okay. And so his brother, yes. So. The main character, one of the main characters, is when Ella and him go to this place, they meet a hermit himself, and he was actually a former prince of another smaller kingdom, because there was actually a kingdom that was part of that land, but it was abandoned. But this former prince actually lived in the middle of nowhere, and he actually figured out who Liam was, and he actually helped him get home.
So chickens can come in a lot of different sort of varieties. Exactly what sort is Ella like? Does she have a breath weapon?
What started the whole concept of Ella?
Sure.
It was just because I've been reading books for so many years. Like, I started reading, like, adult, like, level books, like, when I was, like, 12 or 13 years old. Like, I read The Lord of the Rings. I read, you know, the Game of Thrones series. I've read, you know, C.S. Lewis novels. Like, I love books that they create their own world. Like, you have to, like, close your eyes and picture it in your mind. Like, I love how J.R. Tolkien created, you know, like, Middle Earth, and how, you know, George Martin created the Westeros, and, you know, it was so fascinating that over time I just started loving, you know, the whole idea of just telling a story and being so descriptive about it, like they were in their books.
Yeah, okay. Cool. And so what was sort of the inspiration about a story about, you know, protecting dragons from being hunted come from?
Well, basically, like, I love reading, you know, about how there was a dragon, you know, like, in The Hobbit and everything. Like, I love, and then when I watched and read, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, how Daenerys Targaryen was so protective of her dragons and everything, that kind of gave me somewhat of a semi-inspiration.
Okay, cool. And so exactly how long have you wanted to be an author?
Actually, I was writing as a hobby when I was just a little girl. Like, I would actually write sentences and draw pictures to go with them, and I would actually staple it together, make like a picture book, actually. Okay. And my grandmother, who still lives, is alive. She's 88 years old. She took care of me most of my life. She actually told me, one day you should be an author. And I said, no, I don't think I could do it. And so I actually went on and I actually got a degree in child development. But then now that I'm a mom of three, I've been home a lot more often. So like September of 2019, I just woke up from a dream and I got an idea and I started writing it. And Ella was created.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
And is it a standalone novel or is it part of a series?
It's actually the first book of the series. I wrote four books and I wrote a short story, all in the total of 1 year. The final book in the series actually came out on the 1 year anniversary of Ella.
Oh, nice. Readers always like to have, like, complete series, you know, to binge through, so I'm sure that's great. So, this was your first novel, right? So did you,
yes.
What sort of, you know, pitfalls or, you know, mistakes or troubles you kind of ran into that you learned from?
In the beginning, editing, like, my husband, you know, helped me, you know, because my husband is a screenplay writer in training, of course, and he helped me edit the first time, and then a lot of people liked it, but then I met some more people, like, along the way, like, in independent author, you know, industry, and, you know, I became close friends with someone, and she's actually now my personal editor because she actually sees myself being able to be successful. And so with some people's help, and, you know, I discovered, like, programs like Grammarly and whatnot that I managed to actually, I've re-edited Ella like 9 times so far.
Okay.
So, and then also marketing was a major pain because marketing can be very hard, like promoting your own book and whatnot, and I've learned the ins and outs of how to do that, and Ella has actually managed to get about over 120 reviews in the amount of a year.
Yeah, I did see that. That's it's really hard to get one review, let alone 100 and some of them. I'm rather jealous of you.
Oh, I actually didn't know how that was even possible.
So, are you like a plotter or a pantser when it comes to your writing style?
I plot, like, I write, like, I map, like, I outline, you know, a story like this will happen then and there. Like, I don't, you know, like, pull the words out of my mind, like, you know, just have it then it's done. Like, I have to, like, look like an outline. It's something kind of like my husband does as well. Like, he writes his screenplay ideas down first before he types it. So I do the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's, it can be a bit, you know, I don't know. I have trouble outlining really far into my stories. I just, there's like a wall. I usually have trouble seeing past really big events. I kind of need to write them and see how my characters react to them to kind of understand how they're going to go forward.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's why my series outlines are really bad. Like, by the time I get to book three, I'm so far off my original, like, idea of what book three was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ideas just come out of the moment, and then it's like an idea you originally didn't want, but then it sounds so good.
Yeah, it's a kind of like the basic idea was there, but the execution is so much different, or like things aren't playing out the same way, or even character relationships aren't the same as I thought they would be.
Yeah.
I just can't. I'm not one of those people like I know some authors that can like plot out an entire series and follow it fairly rigorously, but not me.
Well, and personally, in my opinion, I can't plot a whole book. Like, I have to write down, like, the characters, the settings, and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, the world building, yeah.
Like, and, like, I haven't gone far as doodling, like, a map, you know? So, like the geographical features of, like, the world I'm creating in my mind. Like, I must have doodled maps, like, 3 or 4 times just to make it be perfect in the end.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of making maps. I have maps for all my stuff. Unless they're like short stories that are kind of like one-offs that don't take place really much beyond like one location. But yeah, other than that, I always have maps and detailed maps. And yeah, that's, I like drawing maps though. So.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So you are also an advocate of Russell Silver syndrome. I've never heard of that
before.
Yes. What is it?
That is my youngest son, Joshua, was born a month early. Because, like I said before, I'm a mother of three. My oldest son is 6 and a half. I have a 4-year-old son, and I have a 3-year-old daughter. When I was pregnant with my youngest son, we were having complications with him. And so that I live up in Northern California, I had to go down to San Francisco to a children's hospital. And we had a special, ultrasounds and whatnot. And they noticed he was smaller than he should be. And I gave birth to my son about almost a month early down in the Bay Area. And he was small. And even when we brought him home after he was in the hospital for a month, no one knew. So we had to bring him down back there when he was like 9 months old. And he had to see a certain specialist. And when he was 11 months old, he was diagnosed with a genetic growth condition called Russell Silver syndrome, which means when he's full grown man, he'll be about 5'4", 5'5", and he'll be about 100 pounds.
Okay.
Even though he eats like no tomorrow, it's still, he slowly gains weight.
Okay. And does that have any epilepsy with it? Because I know she also mentioned
epilepsy. I'm actually have epilepsy myself. I was diagnosed with it when I was 16 years old. And I am pretty good at staying on my medication, staying on track with it. It's been a kind of a rough journey. I've managed to have a wonderful, loving husband. I have a loving family from it all. And it's hard, but I still manage to support, because there's so many mothers I know out there, because I'm part of an epilepsy support group. Like, they're afraid, like, is it scary to have children? And I said, for me, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, my sister-in-law is epileptic, and she's scared of having children. And her medication you can't take while pregnant is one of the reasons. And she's scared to change her medication, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I actually had to change my medication just about over a year ago. And so I actually have to take two kinds of medications just to have a normal daily lifestyle. And I got mine from an injury, as well as my mother did as well. But my mother has many more health problems that she sometimes forgets. But I'm more so good about that. But I use my writing as a way of encouraging, saying I'm a good person, I can be healthy, I can do right. And so I'm a heavy supporter of women who have epilepsy if they think that they can't do anything, but you can. Like, I've worked with kids for years. I'm writing. I'm a mom. Like, anything's possible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just noticed that. Anyway, so I lost my train of thought.
Oh, so, that's all right.
So you have all of Ella's book out, right?
Yes. I actually published the final book in the series on Ella's 1-year anniversary, which was actually Thanksgiving Day of last year. And I'm actually... just wrote a brand new book and a brand new idea actually just recently, but it's with my editor as we speak, and she's going to start working on it soon.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to ask about. Would you like to talk about your upcoming project?
I'm kind of trying to keep a little bit secretive, but sure. I'll just give a couple of ideas. It is fantasy based, of course. And there is a dragon, of course. And I decided to flip the idea around. And instead of having a male protagonist, I decided to have a female teenager protagonist instead.
All right, cool.
Yes. And I wrote the first draft of that book. And it was with my editor. And I'm actually in the middle of writing the next one. And I'm not close to being done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're never done writing your books if you're like an author with a lot of ideas, right?
Oh, yes. You're an absolute storyteller when you like write so many books.
So how did you find your editor?
Actually, I am a part of many Facebook author groups and everything. And I was promoting Ella. The cover that you see, you know, the one with the dragon on it, that was actually not my original cover. I had actually a horrible cover that I made all by myself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This woman on Facebook who's an author, she said, well, I've had a lot of experience. She's like, I want to read your book. And she did. And she gave me a 4-star review. But she said, can I do something for you, please? And I said, yes. I said, sure, of course. And she said, I know you're young, and I would like to help you make it sound better, make it flow, make it be interesting. And so I said, sure, absolutely. And so she did it for nothing because she believed that I had an idea, and she just wanted to help me, you know, prove it. And then after that, she just said, she just helped me after that.
She even helped remake
my cover for Ella, because Ella was nominated for an Author Elite Award.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Unless you're, like, really good at art, you shouldn't be making your own covers out there, authors.
Oh, God, no.
I have a friend who actually can do her own covers. She's, like, a painter, and she knows how to do, like, photo bashing and, like, you know, and she can do, like, the photo art stuff and, you know, Photoshop and all that, and it looks really good. But other than her, yeah, she's like the only author I know that I would trust, you know, to do like her own covers.
Oh no, this author in particular, she actually lives on the East Coast. I'm grateful for her friendship and everything. She does her own covers. She writes her own books. Her theme is like thriller, historical thrillers, like nonfiction thrillers. She's actually really good. She helps so many authors in the world as well. And she's actually working on another book right now. So I'm so proud of her for that. And if it wasn't for her, my books, I would not know where I would be today.
That's great. Yeah, I had someone that reached out to me when I was first starting to like help me like get better at my writing. So
I'm still learning every day.
Yeah, there's always new stuff to learn, but I do definitely need to have someone who can tell you like what your mistakes are that you always make or whatever and try to correct those.
Well, what happened the first time was I tried to be smart, and I wanted to write like how the story of The Hunger Games was written in first person. I was like, hey, I want to write Ella in first person, but I ultimately failed. And so my editor just said it was a good plot and everything, just she said, you need to understand about how I write in the first person. So I'm still learning every day.
Awesome. Well, Samantha, would you like to tell our listeners where they can connect with you on the internet?
Well, I'm on Twitter.com. And I have my own Facebook page called Samantha Evans Author, and I'm a heavy user of Instagram. You just type in Samantha Evans, and usually there's a picture of my oldest son. And then I have a heavy author profile on Amazon as well. And on Amazon is a link to my blog that gives like all the interviews I've done on my books, all my work. The link to my blog is on my Amazon website.
Awesome. Well, it was really great talking with you, Samantha.
Of course.
Have yourself a good evening.
Thank you. Have a good evening to you, too. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter, @jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.